Hi, welcome to Haunted Playground here on the Live Paranormal Channel.
Thank you for joining us for Live Paranormal Radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our Live Paranormal Radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hi, I'm Sheena Metal. Welcome to Haunted Playground here on the Live Paranormal Channel. This is my first show. So I'm learning as I go, as you always do when you go to a new place. For those of you who are learning a little bit about me, I am a talk radio host, an interfaith minister, and a psychic medium. And this is my 26th year in radio. How exciting to be celebrating 26 years in radio and with this great new venue, Live Paranormal. So the Live Paranormal channel picked up my three video web series of mine in June, Haunted Playground After Dark, which is the companion to this, which will air on Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock Pacific time. We're here Wednesdays at 6 o'clock Pacific time. Also, the Soulmate Experience with my wonderful partner, Lynn Arnie, and I Am Raising Your Vibration, which is a lot like this, only more spiritual and less paranormal. The noise you hear in the background is not a young baby that I'm torturing. It is, in fact, my cat Molly, the psychic oracle cat who thinks she's going to give everyone a free reading, even though no one asked her to. My guest today is a brilliant author and speaker and UFO communicator and a dear friend, a paranormal survivor, as am I, who grew up in the farmhouse that the film The Conjuring was based on. And I'm so excited to have her here today. That is not her. That, again, is the cat. And I guess you're just going to have to get used to hearing the sounds of animals wherever I do this show, because wherever I am, my animal companions follow me. If you want more information, you can check out SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. That's where you can find me, or HauntedPlayground.com. Please go and like all the social media stuff at Sheena Metal everywhere. And hopefully the cat's going to calm down as we continue this venture. Andrea is here with me, I think. Welcome to the show, my friend. How are you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and oh, the comfort and the joy of listening to you speak, of hearing your voice.
I'm back, baby.
It raises me. It lifts me up. I have missed you. I haven't seen you in way too long. And,
I know.
You know, this is a blessed reunion of sacred souls.
Thank you. It's good to have you here, my friend. You know, it's funny because during this year of COVID, where we've all been very locked down and many things in my life have changed and shifted in many different directions, some very much for the good, some maybe not so much for the good, but I'm working on it. I would have told you that I was so happy doing my web series here on the Live Paranormal channel that I didn't really care if I did radio again. But I have to tell you, 5 minutes into this show, and I'm high as a kite. I miss radio like you wouldn't believe. It's in my blood. It's in my bones. And I missed you. And I can think of no one better to be my first guest tonight than you, my friend.
Well, I am so privileged and honored to have been asked. It does mean the world to me. You mean the world to me.
Thank you. We connected
in a truly profound way. Several years ago, yet I've always felt like I've known you forever, that we just reconnected out in California.
Sure.
The first day that I wrapped you up in my arms and vice versa, it was a beautiful thing, and you brought me extraordinary comfort on one of the most difficult days of my life. I had just lost my baby sister, April, had just passed away, and I was out on the Queen Mary, and there you were. And suddenly I felt like, I mean, the first thing that you did was tell me about your mother passing, and I instantly knew that we were kindred spirits, that you understood and completely felt what I was going through because you had just come through it yourself the year before. So,
yeah, your sister had passed the day before, right, sweetheart? And my mom, the day
yes.
we met, your sister had passed the day before. And my
yeah.
my mother's anniversary, her 1 year anniversary of passing was that day. And our mutual
right.
friend Chip Coffee, whom I love like my brother, invited me to
yeah.
come out to meet you and see you all because I was having a very hard day that was really compounded by kind of where my mother lived, where my house where I grew up that is now mine, I have kind of a Mrs. Kravitz from Bewitched kind of neighbor that picked that
uh-huh.
day to decide to be like super crazy. And, you know, you don't realize, I think, somehow and sometimes how affected you are by the anniversaries of the death of loved ones until somebody
yeah.
trips a trigger on that day and you just lose your
right.
ever-loving mind. So I think that
yeah.
I kind of don't even remember the drive to the Queen Mary. And it was so nice. I know we had a big dinner, remember, and Chip lit a candle for my mom. And it was a very lovely celebratory thing. And my mom came by and visited him, as my mom often visits my medium friends. And I think she just wants to
mm-hmm.
hang out with Chip. It was an excuse to see us all. Do you have now? Have you had that experience that I have, where every time I meet someone, they have a message from my mom, which is hysterical because my mom gives me so many messages. It's odd she has any less to give to others. But do you have that same thing where you run into people and they're constantly giving you messages from April?
Yes, but predominantly Chip, and
yeah.
He'll call me out of the blue and say, "Your sister's beaten down the back door of my brain. She's got something to tell." I'm like,
right,
well, you know,
right.
Chip, she was just here. Was there anything else left for her to say? And he's like, "Yeah,
yes,
yeah." And it's he is a remarkably gifted human being, but
yeah.
he's
and a
also
lovely man.
He knows how to be an intimate friend. He knows
mm-hmm.
the word. He knows the meaning of that word, and so whenever he picks up anything from her, he immediately drops whatever he's doing to reach out to me. I tell him all the time, "What have you got me on speed dial?" You know, it truly is a rare and precious gift that he possesses. And so when he reaches out to me and tells me that April's got something to say, I'm always so delighted because it's just one more way for me to be in touch with her. And that's why, to the dismay and to the stunned silence of some people, I tell them that I'm grateful for the way that I grew up, because had I not grown up in that house and become extraordinarily familiar with the spirits, I don't know if I would recognize when April's coming to call. It's because I'm so attuned to it that it's perfectly normal. There's nothing paranormal about it. There's nothing supernatural about it. It is a natural
yeah.
part of my life and my existence, as I know that it is with you. So
yeah.
another thing that we have in common, and it does make for an intimate understanding of one another. And when you have that, when you have that melding of minds, when you have that touching of heart, that is instantaneous and with extraordinary depth, it never leaves you. I know that we will know and love each other for the rest of our lives and beyond. And that is extraordinarily comforting to me. And I'm so proud
yeah.
of you. I'm so
Thank
proud
you.
Of you that you have such courage to put yourself out there the way that you have done for decades. You don't hold anything back. You speak
no.
your truth. You don't,
yeah.
you know, well, you're such an Aries. Oh, my God. And again,
yeah.
why you remind me so much of April.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we were polar opposites, you know, myself being a Libra, we were opposites. And yet we had a real understanding of each other because our foundations are built on love. And so when you've got that, You know, I look at you and the way that you express yourself and the way that you just don't hold anything back that I truly, truly admire. And I, in fact, have learned to emulate. I used to be a little bit, I don't know, I used to play it a little bit safer than I do now. 10 years ago, if you would have asked me if I was going to be known around the world for writing 3 books, the trilogy House of Darkness, House of Light, which is the true story behind the predominantly fictionalized film The Conjuring, and that I would, you know, have this massive following of people who feel so connected to me and feel such trust of me that they reach out. I mean, I know thousands of people because I had the tenacity to write our truth, to chronicle those events accurately, no matter how shocking they might seem to readers who, you know, I don't even, as I've said to you before, I don't even think of it as it's not a horror story. It's a love story with a wicked supernatural twist. You know, it bears no actual resemblance to the film, but, you know, that aside, the truth is the truth. And, you know, I spent a lot of years of my life not talking about it. You know, I had been so threatened as a young person about having the temerity to speak to my classmates in high school about what was happening in the house that I was growing up in, that I was threatened with expulsion, and I was a straight-A student, and I was terrified by that. You know, I was on my way to one of the best colleges in the country. Expulsion would have ended that for me, and so I learned a long time ago to shut my mouth and not say anything, and in 2007, it was as if a bell went off in my head. And the universe said, ding-a-ling, it's time. And I began writing the trilogy, the first volume published in 2011, the second in 2012, and the third at the beginning of 2014, with the film wedged in between the second and the third book. And my whole entire life has changed. Why? Because I dared to tell the truth. And you... Yeah. Are the personification of that. And that's I most admire about you.
Thank you, sweetheart. We didn't grow up in a time where you could talk about it. You know, my mom.
Right.
I have an interesting story about my mom and Chip that I'll tell in a second, but my mom probably was also a psychic medium and probably didn't tell another soul until she was in her early 50s. And my mom had an encounter with Hat Man. My mom had seen an off-worlder. Had seen numerous spirits, had reincarnation flashes in her life of things where she was in present time, and then suddenly she was in that time period. But she never told anyone. And like when I went to school when I was young, because even before we lived in that horrible house when I was a preteen, the story was always, this is for you and me, and we don't tell your friends. Because if you tell your friends, they'll tell their parents. And then their parents won't
and
let them come
happened.
And be friends with you. And so I never did. I never told my friends. So they couldn't tell their parents. But once when I was in junior high, we were living in Baltimore where the scary house was, I made the mistake at a slumber party of saying something to a friend of mine whose mother was screaming at her dog. That in my home, my mother told me that my dogs were my brothers and I was to treat them as equals. Well, 7 o'clock in the morning, she went and told her mom, 7 o'clock in the morning, this mother rasped me out of bed, basically picked me up by the scruff of my neck, ran me to the house, knocked on the door. My mother answers the door like all sleepy because mom and I not morning people, and says, did you know what Sheena's telling people at school? She told my daughter at a slumber party that you told her that the dogs were like her brothers. And my mom kind of looked at her like, And that was it. I was never allowed anywhere near that girl again. But in my house, the dogs were the siblings, and I was not to treat them as any less than. So just that got me ostracized. Can you imagine if I said, oh, you know, when I was a year old and sitting in my bassinet on the dryer, my mom saw an off-worlder in the living room. You know what I mean? In the laundry room, actually. Like, how would that have gone over? So I didn't understand at the time why my mom said that was a no-go. But then as I became an adolescent and a teenager and got involved in the entertainment industry, there became inside of me a very deep-seated fear to share everything about how different I was for fear I would lose my entertainment career. And of all of the things in my life I've shared and all the differences that I am, and you know all of them, the hardest one for me was to come out as a psychic, because I was sure people would think I was just another, you know, Hollywood flake crazy person or somebody looking to make a money here and there. And that my legitimacy as a radio host and as an actor and a creator would be done. And the truth is, the entertainment business has been so embracing of me. I mean, in some respects, even more embracing of me than even the spiritual and paranormal communities. I mean, so embracing of me, to the point that I work at a progressive Christian church. I'm on staff as a minister. I do the interfaith ceremony. I can't wait till you're out here so you can come and speak at one. It's at SaturdayNightSpiritual.com if you want information. And I stand there in this beautiful sanctuary at the altar and speak about being a psychic and being a medium and talk about reincarnation and meditation and chakra balancing, and amongst talking about Jesus and saints, and no one even bats an eye. And a lot of these folks that grew up in fundamentalist church and Pentecostal churches and evangelical churches, they are just completely groovy with the fact that I have all these different beliefs. So you never know, right? You never know how the world's going to grow. You never know. And I think for you as well as me, it's been a benefit to your life to become as open as you now are.
Yes. And I don't hold anything back anymore. And I don't care who judges me. And I don't care who disparages me, because it's a reflection of them, not me. And I really don't. I had to get to the point in my life where I just, because I realized that I am not here for everyone. There are some people, we all evolve at different rates. It's not a ladder where we're standing on different rungs and, you know, some of us look down on the ones beneath us. It's like a Venn diagram. And we're all moving through this space-time consciousness continuum. And we're each evolving at our own rate. And, you know, it requires certain stressors on societies to create that enlightenment, to crack that egg open, to open minds, to open eyes for us to wake up. I want to take this opportunity. I've just relaunched my old show, A World Awakening, and beautiful. I must have you on. It has been splendidly successful, and we've only been at it a few weeks. I have a new producer named Tony Rathman, who is God's gift. He's a wonderful man, and he has just helped me along, dragged me into the 21st century. I now have a great HD camera and a high-tech microphone, and it's much harder to tote my computer around, but that's okay.
Sure.
A small price to pay for being in the 21st century.
Right.
My microphone is nice as the one that you've got. Yes, that's right.
Right. That's why God invented the duffel bag. After all
that's
that stuff in the duffel bag.
Yes, and during this, you know, I felt like, for the first few months of the age of COVID, I just took it in. I had to take it in. I had to experience it, and I think during that period of time, I probably gained 15 pounds because I decided my optimum source of calcium would be ice cream. And either I was watching the news or I was sleeping. And I slept and I slept. I made up for probably a good 10 years of serious sleep deprivation over the first 3 months. And then I was fully awake. And in the process of watching everything that transpired over the course of 2020, I added to the book, my latest book, called A Wonder to Behold, which is a chronicle of all of the major encounters that I have had with extraterrestrials throughout the course of my life. Now, I can't say that there isn't still a little part of me that isn't a fear-based carbon unit, because through the guidance of the galactic family, I was guided to sell my book privately for the first year or so. And I didn't know why. And I knew that the paradigm shift was coming. The whole entire book refers to it over and over again as the forthcoming paradigm shift. And then 2020 dropped in our laps, and there it was. I figured that what I would do, because the book is so, it's not extreme, but it is like the people that listen to you, you don't know how people are going to react or respond when you're giving them new information. And so because I'm so forthcoming in the book, literally as a love letter to my readers, I have sold it privately. I haven't put it out in the world. Well, I used the rest of 2020 to write an extended extra, not a chapter, but really tagged on to the last chapter of the book called The Circle of Life, where I put the extension, the addenda is, this is it. Welcome to the paradigm shift. And it really is a rather holistic treatment of my experience of what I knew was coming and was utterly unprepared for, in spite of the fact that I knew it was coming. But it is the grief of, I mean, you're as empathetic as I am. I can easily say that and honestly say that. I mean, you know, we're both so spongy, we put SpongeBob to shame. We just absorb the energies of those around us. And that is our nature.
We're
right, exactly. And so I needed to feel COVID. I needed to deal with COVID in my own inimitable way, and to express my observations in a very specific way about the arrival of the paradigm shift. Today, in our own country, we saw a pivotal moment occur in this country that changed millions of minds. Millions. I can feel it. I don't know if you can, but I feel the shift. It happened today.
Absolutely.
It happened today.
And I've talked about this a lot through my psychic work, and when I lecture and teach as a psychic medium there, and through my church as a spiritual counselor, you know, when I always use this example, when 9/11 happened, we felt that so much. But if you were living in France or in Africa, you would have had empathy for the people of America or empathy for the people of New York, but you wouldn't really have felt it because it wasn't happening to you. The same way that you in Florida, I in Los Angeles, did not feel it the way you would have felt it if you had been living in New York City at the time. But with COVID, it's happening to every single person on the planet at the same time. We're all having exactly the same experience. And I can't think of the last time that this happened, where the whole entire world was having this experience at the same time. Not, it's horrible, it's happening somewhere else. Oh, no, it could come here, but it's everywhere. And I think that when something like that happens, Andrea, you have to believe that that is of God, as they say, right? That is spirit intervening and suddenly giving us this time away from work, away from having to be places, away from being in our cars all the time or on the train all the time, in the airports all the time, to have time inside of our heads. And what it's done for me, and I'm so thankful for it, although there have been times where I have shaken my fist at the sky, knowing that that's not where God lives. They're probably somewhere, they're off-worlders going, why is that weird woman shaking her fist at us all the time? Is that what she thinks God is? I know, she's a little touched. Well, we knew that. It really, for me, has been a time of me figuring out who I really am and what I want from life.
Yes.
And being a little surprised.
And what matters, what really matters.
And what really matters, and what I really want moving forward. And, you know, I was telling this to my best friend the other day. I haven't had this much time, and I've worked like a madwoman. My spiritual practice is off the hook. I started, this is my fourth new show I've started this year. This doesn't count. It's not last year, but I haven't had this much time off from having to be places and be at events and be at teaching gigs and be in a radio studio to really be at home since I was 14 years old. I mean, I have just run and run and run since my first day of high school. And it has been very healing to have this time to just live inside of my head and be and not have all of the distraction. And I've spent a lot of time with animals. There's always an animal on my lap. And just having that hour after hour after hour. And I feel like this whole year has healed me, and that 2020 was a time where I was almost holding my breath, waiting.
Yes.
And it's interesting because January and February of last year were two of the busiest, best years of my life. They were my best years for work. I felt my best. I was my best. I fell in love for the first time. And then the whole world fell apart because welcome to my life. Welcome, sucks to be Irish. But but I really feel now like now I'm reemerging into January again, feeling like I'm 50 soul years older and ready now to really move into it. It was almost like I had to stop and grow a little bit before I could keep moving on with my life. And I'm thankful to this year for that. As I'm thankful to, you talked about how your life changed because you grew up in that house. For all the bad experiences at the farmhouse, for all the scary things, if I had not grown up in the house I grew up in, the scary haunted house, I might not have spent, you know, a better part of the middle of my life researching what happened and learning about the community had I not fallen into the paranormal and spiritual communities. There might not have been so many people asking me to come out of the closet, and I may not have wound up ever openly talking about my spiritual gifts. You know, so everything happens for a reason. You have to believe that. This is the right time for your book to come out publicly will be the exact right time for that.
Yes. Yep. And interestingly, I had an experience in August 24th. My mother's birthday up in the Upper Peninsula, Michigan, Paracon, where I was out doing my thing with hundreds of people, which I'm kind of the Pied Piper of the paranormal when it comes to the galactic family. And I sing to them and they make their presence known to those that are with me. And my sister, Christine, was up there. All my sisters were with me, including April and Spirit. And my father, and I didn't realize that my sister Christine was standing about 20 feet behind me while I was doing my thing. I thought my sisters were off partying with their new friends, of which they made many that weekend, and that they, knowing me as well as they do and knowing what I do, you know, that's old hat. We don't need to, you know, be doing that with her. She can go do her thing and we'll do ours. Well, Christine was standing behind me with her iPhone, and she got 24 of the most phenomenal photographs that I have ever seen. And she didn't send them to me until August of 2020 when she was going through cleaning out her photographs. And she called me out of the blue and said, "Ann, did I ever send you those photographs I took at Sault Ste. Marie?" And I'm like, no, you did." She's like, "Well, hold on." And six of them have been inserted into the new book. So, I mean, extraordinary photograph. So, you know, everything happens for a reason. And I was told to hold off. I was told to wait. And now is the time. Now is the time for me to put this out, you know, not where people have to find a back channel to get me to get their copy of the first edition, but where I will put this out all over the world simultaneously. People can still get the full color edition, which I highly recommend, through me. You know, that aside, I'm going to take that great leap of faith and put my words out into the world where I believe that they can really make a difference for those who have had extraordinary experiences of their own and were too afraid to ever share them. It really is something that I'm very proud of. And my mother, who is an avid reader, devoured the book, and she said it was the greatest work of my life. I was deeply grateful for those words because my mother is a Virgo, and she would rather swallow her own tongue than lie to anyone about anything. So she wasn't just sucking up to me, her eldest daughter. She meant it, and those words meant a great deal to me. So, yeah, it's going to be out very shortly. I'll let you know so that you can let your listeners know. And I'm going to have you on A World Awakening because yours is a very important voice in the world, particularly at this time. And as we connected about me coming on your show tonight, what was it that I said to you? If there was ever a day for us to come together and to do our part to raise the vibration, it's today.
Yeah, absolutely, so it is today. Absolutely. And I think that part of what we're learning through this time of COVID, right, the quarantine, internally, we're figuring out who we really are and what we want by spending time inside of our heads and having a lot of quiet time to watch Netflix and pet animals. As my animal screams at you right now that she's not being petted enough. You're not used to doing radio with Molly. Isn't it a joy?
No. Well, you'll get to meet my Princess Peanut Buttercup on A World Awakening because she is my co-host. Yes.
Yeah.
Little puppy. She's laying here quietly right now. But bring Molly. Bring Molly when we do the show.
I will.
This is absolutely an animal-friendly show.
This one's a Scorpio, so you can imagine what happens if I don't behave.
Oh, I know.
So, anyway... Also, I think we are, as we approach the end times, right? And I hate to say that, and I don't mean end times like, oh, we're all going to die. It's not like Book of Revelation.
No,
it's the end of the
Piscean age.
That's right.
The shift into the next.
And into Aquarius.
This is the age of Aquarius. This is it.
We are
where we come out of ourselves and we become a world community. And that's what we're in the midst of doing right now.
Absolutely.
I know, for instance, I can say to you right now that when you saw Beirut blow up, you felt it as profoundly as if you lived there. I know you did, because I did.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think we are very definitely now feeling the balance of darkness and light in the world, and it's becoming undeniable. It's funny because when I used to talk about darkness, a lot of my, you know, my new agey friends, the very, very new agey people, you saw, oh, there's no such thing, and darkness is just how we stand in our own way, and it's the darkness within you. And I was thinking, well, you know what, go live in that house I lived in for 2 weeks, you'll see what darkness is. But you know, it's we really are. And, you know, even let's just go on a strictly paranormal level. So when I lived in that house, my father had a lot of darkness. He was very much sort of a fragile narcissist, very, very narcissistic, and also had a lot of darkness that harbored within him. And my mother was, you know, an in-the-closet psychic. So it was like living with a lighthouse and a well, you know, at the same time. And then we got in that house with that history. And it was like everything became exemplified, the best of her, the worst of him, everybody's fears coming to life, me in puberty. And it was just, you know, a celestial poop show. But
yeah,
but it really showed me that there is darkness, and that without the darkness, there isn't light. And without light, there can't be light without the darkness. And that, you know,
that's
you,
right.
I always use
they
the
would
analogy
be indistinguishable
when I
otherwise. Yes,
exactly. And I use the analogy when I teach about narcissism and about my See the Light and Starve the Dark workshop. Growing up in Huntington Beach, we moved here when I was 13, kind of living in the world of surfers, right? You can't go in the ocean and there aren't sharks, because they have a purpose and they belong there. You belong in the ocean and they belong in the ocean, and you just have to try to stay out of their way. And that's kind of what I think it's like with darkness. It's never going to be done. There's never going to be a time where there's not going to be another nasty person on the earth. It just, that time is not going to come. So you have to find a way to grow your light in the face of what's happening with them, and hope that your light grows so big and inspires other people's light to grow, so that the darkness becomes more shriveled, you know?
Yes, and
in the same way that
what we're in the midst of. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In the same way that you know how to protect yourself from sharks, you know, don't dress like a baby seal and rub fish oil all over yourself before you get to the ocean. And there's less chance you'll get bit.
There's that's
you know?
Just the perfect analogy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. It really is.
You don't have to make yourself a victim to the darkness. But you also cannot pretend that the darkness doesn't exist.
Does not exist, exactly, because one, you know, one cannot exist without the other in a three-dimensional, five-sensory, oppressive realm in which we live. This is the conflict, the perpetual conflict between good and evil, darkness and life. This is duality. This exists. It is not just a concept. It is our reality. In the same way that we cannot see the air which we breathe that keeps us alive, and we cannot see the new moon, we don't doubt its existence. It is there in the sky as an orb. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. So,
absolutely.
You know, coming to terms with the visible and the invisible, coming to terms with the existence of these obviously counterintuitive concepts, which are in constant mortal battle, I try to reaffirm always for everyone whenever I lecture or speak on interviews, you know, whenever, that ultimately, it is safe to have faith, because good always conquers evil and love always conquers fear. And fear is the antithesis of evil, not hatred. Hatred is born of fear, but it is not the core of it. The core is fear. And when we learn to embrace that element of our own humanity and accept it for what it is and put it to good use as a tool to forewarn us against any potential dangers, rather than relinquishing our personal power to it, that's when we conquer it. And so I've spent a much of the last decade literally conquering my own fear of telling the truth, because the truth to some seems so highly implausible or improbable or literally unbelievable that it requires a suspension of disbelief to buy into my true story. And so, you know, that's a hard nut to crack. And it took me a while. I mean, I was on the precipice of 50 years old when I finally recognized it for what it was. And I robbed it of its power over me. I took control over it. It stopped controlling me. And I was almost 50 years old when that happened. And I'm 62 now, and I feel like a kid again. I feel like I can conquer the world because I've conquered myself. I've conquered my own fear. And you have done the same. And it is truly one of the things that I most admire about you, sweetheart. I mean, and your huge, big, higher love heart. I mean, you're just, even when it would be easier, so much easier. Do you remember that wonderful dinner that we had together at that fabulous seafood restaurant with my dad?
Yes. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
Oh, my God. He still talks about the linguinis and clam sauce from that place.
I was going to say, who thought in California he'd get his authentic New England linguine and clam sauce?
Oh, my God. He's so food obsessed. It's really crazy. But we talked about that night. I remember because I remember as we were talking about that, not feeling the chair beneath me. I felt like I was levitating beside you. I felt like I reached over and I touched your hand and I could feel your vibration. I just left my hand on top of your hand because I could feel your vibration. And I was taking it in and then giving you back my energy simultaneously. And I think that was my moment of realization where I understood that there is such a thing as a soulmate. And it doesn't mean that you have to, quote unquote, be together.
Right.
But it is the realization that you have been together for millennia. I don't know what planet you're from. I know what planet I'm from, even though I don't know the name of it. I know precisely what it looks like. But I don't know what planet you're from. But I do know that we have known each other forever. And to have the privilege of having you come into my world at precisely the time that I needed you most and coming into your life at precisely the time that you needed me most leads me to believe that there is no such thing as coincidence, that is just a machination, a word that we have created to explain away the otherwise inexplicable moments of life.
I agree, and I think that we are supposed to continually find our soul family, and it's just whether or not we're open and surrender to it enough to do it when we recognize it, or we run from it when we see it, because you're either going to be a runner or you're not going to be a runner, and it hurts to evolve. It hurts to look somebody that your soul has known forever face to face, because it makes you want to be a better person in this life. But if you don't, then you're not evolving and you're not growing and you're not getting anywhere. And in time you begin to de-evolve, because if you're not moving forward, you start to slip back.
You start
and
to slip back. Exactly right. That's exactly right. And go ahead.
As much as growth hurts, I'll take the pain if it means that I'm growing. So I see so many situations with people who tell me stories about, you know, that person was the love of my life, or that person was my best friend, or that was the family member that loved me more than anything else. But then I did this dumb thing, or they did this dumb thing, and I never talked to them again. And I think, well, you know, okay, but in the long run, I can't think of a thing that is so important that it would be worth not speaking again to the person who lifted up your heart in that way. But I think people are scared.
Exactly.
I think people are scared to truly love other people, because in order to love others, you have to love yourself. And in order to give to others, you're inadvertently giving to yourself. And I think some people just flat out don't like themselves that much, you know?
Well, that and also I think it's the whole vulnerability factor. You know, when you put yourself out like that to another human being, the element of trust must be there. And if it's not been solidified by prior to that individual, then it is a very scary thing to do. It is the ultimate leap of faith to say, I love you to someone, and yet they're the three most powerful words in this language or any other. And
absolutely,
the second most are, I believe you. You know,
yeah,
it's I've had a couple of people lie to me about their experiences, and, you know, the truth
sure
always surfaces. And,
sure,
you know, and I've been very disappointed and sad for them that they felt that they had to do that in order to, you know, perceive that they were getting closer to me by lying to me.
Yeah.
But when it surfaced, the first thing that I did was acknowledge it. And the second thing that I did was forgive it. And that's the way that it's got to be, because otherwise it will hurt me. It will degrade who I am at my core. But I think that ultimately the most important part of these life lessons that we're learning here, my dear. Well, let me just make mention of one thing. The multitude of synchronicities between us. The first time I ever heard you describe life as soul school, I laughed out loud because I thought I was the only person that referred to it that way. It's the only I was the only one that I had ever heard of that had used it in print or, you know, that type of thing. And I go into great depth about that in the new book, because it really, the paradigm shift is all about recognizing indeed in soul school, and that on this plane of action, the test always precedes the lesson, which seems so supremely unfair. And yet that is the nature of our existence. We have to face the test to learn the lesson well. And so if you scan back over the course of your life, and almost as of taking a magnifying glass or a microscope to the events which profoundly altered you, you will realize, and I mean you, like all of you out there, will realize that you had to go through something painful or disorienting or humiliating or, you know, just downright harmful to understand the point of that happening in your life and what you garnered from it, what you learned from it on the other side, which is why people say that, you know, the mark of a stupid person is making the same mistake over and over again and expecting a different result. You know,
yes,
I mean, if you're cogent and cognizant enough to make the mistake, learn the lesson, and then not repeat the mistake, essence of spiritual growth, then you're free to go on and make a new mistake. Now, and
right,
and that's what this time on this planet seems to be about for all of us. And so as we are confronted with these difficult choices, with these difficult conflicts, with the divisiveness that we're going through, which was to be entirely expected during the seismic shift that I like to call the holy shift, or, you know, the paradigm
holy shift.
What?
Uh-huh.
Holy shift. And the you know, sometimes people will say, well, what is the paradigm shift? And my response is, I try to, you know, to simplify it and just say, the time when nothing will ever be the same on the other side of it, and you know it. That's the paradigm shift. As we move from the end of the Piscean age into the age of Aquarius, I want everyone to understand that they were born here at this time to forward the momentum of that, even if their forwarding of the grand momentum of the shift requires them giant steps backwards. Because
yeah,
what they're doing is learning the hard way. We can learn the easy
right
way, We can learn the hard way. We can learn through personal experience. We can also, and we are the only creature on this planet that is actually capable of advancing our own internal knowledge skills based on the experiences of others. So in that respect, we are ultra enlightened, even if we're starting at ground zero, even if we're coming in as a baby soul. And then there are others like yourself who are ancient souls who I think arrived here with intuitive and inherent understanding of certain elements of existence that many people never attain ever during the course of their lifetime. So I consider myself grateful and lucky to be who I am, where I am, how I am now in this moment. And I think that the greatest gift of COVID is that it has taught us all to slow down, because it is only when we get off that spinning gerbil wheel of life and hop into the fresh bed of hay and just lay our bodies down and stare up at the sky that we understand how intimately and integrally we are connected with the entire universe. I think that this is our point of discovery, that we are all connected. Everything is energy. Everything is consciousness. Everything is one thing. And we're all a part of it.
Well, an understanding that learning is also unlearning, that growing is also unlearning, that sometimes you have to go back and reprogram yourself to what you think you knew.
Yep.
When something comes along that you haven't experienced before, say a wonderful thing, sometimes you have to go back and unlearn the patterns that we have learned. Because even for an ancient soul, even for somebody like me who feels like every life I show up like Nanny McPhee and fix people and then I leave and go to the next house and do it all over again. As I encounter things that I have not encountered before, even for me, the learning curve of unlearning is incredible. But I've become so reliant and trustful of my relationship with spirit that I don't ask questions anymore. Spirit tells me you're supposed to be here. You're supposed to do this. This is what we're showing you. This is where you belong. These are the people you should have in your life. I just keep saying yes and showing up now. There was a time where I was like,
always.
Oh, I'm a human being and I know better. But I don't think so.
Yeah.
And it's interesting what you said earlier. I agree and also don't agree about us being the only species, human beings, that understand what's going on around us and others' experiences. I think that there are other evolved species that also have that same knowledge and understanding. I just think for them it's not such a learning curve. I think that if you look at dolphins or elephants or many animals, even dogs, they consider every other dog in the world to be a part of them. So there's not so much separation. You know, it's interesting because I live with dogs now on the weekends, and they tell me things, because, you know, animals tell me things, but it's been a long time since I've lived with a dog. And one time, one of the dogs said to me that she had heard that she wanted to have a sausage because she heard sausages were great. And I asked, well, where did you hear about sausages? And she said, oh, you know, from another dog. But this isn't a dog that is out with other dogs at a dog park. So I'm thinking, like, you know, as dogs walk by the house, they're just talking to each other. Like, hey, you know what's great? Ask for a sausage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, so I mean in terms of us communicating with each other through language, through the arts, through, you know, I mean, there's a creative element in humanity that allows others to experience another person's perspective without actually having experienced it themselves. Yes, animals, you know, as Chief Daniel said, all animals are smarter than we are. And he was absolutely right.
And I think it's harder for us. And I think one of the reasons that we do make art and have psychology and do lots of things to try to figure out what are the story, what are the answers, what makes us tick, is because mm-hmm. we have walked away from that collective unconscious that a lot of other species mm-hmm. have. So we have purposely, inadvertently separated ourselves from the other members of our species, which is how craziness mm-hmm. like things that happen today happen.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Because we
also
do separate
how, but that had what happened today had to happen today in Washington,
yes.
D.C. to usher in what is happening tonight. There is a unity that has, I mean, talk about the ultimate political wake up call. It happened
yeah.
today. And
good.
Now, you know, suddenly all these senators that were fighting between each other are all the best of friends tonight. And they're all speaking
good.
In agreement, and their tone has changed. The tenor has changed. Everything changed today. You know, so why would I for one moment, even though I booked doing this with you days and days ago, having no idea that all of this would transpire today? I'm on the radio tonight discussing it with you that other people
yeah.
are listening to and gaining perhaps some insight about this. This had to happen. Remember when I first told you about my books and I said it starts before we even move to the house because moved to the farmhouse when we were just a normal family living in a normal Cape Cod house in Cumberland, Rhode Island, and this and this and this and this all had to happen as if it was a cosmic convergence of events had to happen precisely the way it did to catapult our family into that farmhouse. No matter
Absolutely.
How bad it was, no matter how ugly it was, no matter how sad it was, no matter what loss was incurred, it had to happen precisely the way it unfolded in order for us to go to that farmhouse, which changed all of us irrevocably.
Everything happens for a reason, my friend. We are completely out of time. Please, let's do this again. Where can people find you online, sweetheart?
I'm everywhere. Just Google my name. And if you want to watch my new show, A World Awakening, go to Andrea Perrin YouTube. It is simulcast live on YouTube and on Facebook. I'm everywhere, omnipresent in cyberspace. Very easy to find, and I will call you tomorrow and book you on the show.
Beautiful. I can't wait to be your guest. I love you, my friend. Thank you for being here.
I love you, too. Good night, sweetheart.
Take care, sweetheart. Everybody, thank you for listening to my first show here on liveparanormal.com on the Live Paranormal channel. You can find me at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. Remember, somebody listening tonight is going to win a free psychic reading on my late-night companion show, which is called Haunted Playground After Dark. Go to hauntedplayground.com. Email me, Sheena@IamRaisingYourVibration.com. You can text me, 818-437-0886. I am available for psychic readings. I do healings and balancing and animal communication and all kinds of fun stuff. I do house clearings. Go to SheenaMetalSpiritual.com and learn more about me. And, of course, every Wednesday at 6 o'clock, we're here on the Live Paranormal channel, 6 o'clock Pacific time, Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock Pacific time. I'm at facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal for my late night haunted playground after dark. I'm Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister, and I'm a talk radio host. It feels really good to be in 2021, really good to be back here on the radio with this show that I started in 2010 that took a few months break because of the COVID. And I'm so glad to be back. Thanks to the Live Paranormal channel, liveparanormal.com, Rob and Nicole. I love you guys and I appreciate it. We'll see you next week at 6 o'clock Pacific time with another wonderful guest right here on liveparanormal.com. And look on social media. I'm everywhere at Sheena Metal. I'll have a replay link for you. Thanks. Stay safe. Seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, raise your vibration. I love you all. Thank you so much for listening today.